This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. A few years ago, during Black History Month, Rachelle Riley came across a Twitter post that captured both her heart and her imagination. It was a series of black and white photos of a four-year-old girl dressed up as different African-American women who'd made history. Beyond that vast ocean of cuteness, and we're just going to warn you up front, that is considerable, Rachelle felt that there was something special about this little girl honoring struggle and achievement. That was the seed that has now flowered as a book titled That They Lived, African Americans Who Changed the World. And we're talking with the book's co-creator, Rachelle Riley. Hey, Rachelle, welcome back to Stateside.
Hello, thank you so much.
So this book is a collaboration with the photographer who made those pictures, Christy Smith Jones. And I guess we could say it's also a collaboration with Christy's daughter, Lola. Can you describe what Christy's original series looked like?
Absolutely. Back in February of 2017, I'm on Twitter all the time. As people know, I'm pretty fierce on Twitter. And I ran across these photos that were mesmerizing. And I thought, this is so awesome. And I looked at them every day, but I was in the middle of getting ready for the book tour of my first book, The Burden. So I just didn't do anything except love them and keep moving. Well, fast forward a year, in February of 2018, The Burden came out, more book tour. But I saw these photographs and they stopped me in my tracks. And I said, you know what? I can't keep looking at these and not talk to this woman and want to know more. So I went on Facebook and found her and wound up calling her and chatting with her. She's a very shy, stay-at-home mom who literally is an amateur photographer who taught herself to do this just by teaching her daughter Black history.
Wow. Do you remember the first few photos in the series that you saw?
I can remember the one that's my favorite and remains my favorite, and that was Lola at 5 years old, capturing literally the essence and pain and struggle and resilience of Fannie Lou Hamer. It's the famous photo of her with a black eye where she was beaten nearly to death in a jail for trying to get, trying to register voters, black voters. And there were, of course, racists in Mississippi who did not want that to happen. And I saw that photo and saw how Lola was able to capture exactly all of those emotions. And I thought, oh my God, this is very special. Rosa Parks is another one. She is dressed as Rosa Parks with her arrest picture, holding her jail sign. And then there's so many. Those are some of my favorites. Of course, another favorite is Shirley Chisholm, because she's one of my favorite icons, politician Shirley Chisholm, the first African-American woman to mount a serious bid for the presidency of the United States. She would be so amazed right now to see where we are and what has happened since her death. But some of those were just, they captured such a sense of history right there. And usually pictures are worth 1,000 words, but I wanted to put 1,000 words with them because I wanted kids and their parents and their grandparents and their teachers and their ministers and everybody to know and remember that these folks lived and achieved so much.
You reached out to Christy and asked if you could work together, you writing stories appropriate for all ages to accompany each of Christy's photos. And in each case, there's a photo of the original subject as well as Lola embodying each of these people. Were you using all the subjects Christy had done, or it looks like you've added to it for the book?
Well, I'll tell you, the funniest part of this story was she didn't want to do this. When I called her and she said, oh my God, you're Rachelle Riley. And I went, okay, you're outside of Seattle in a little town called Kent. You are not intimidated by me. And she said, oh yes, I am. I don't think we can do this. I really don't think so. So I got on a plane and I flew to Seattle and I got in a car and I drove to Kent and I took her family to lunch to talk to them about why this was important. And by the time I was done, she agreed to do it. And I got all excited and I said, oh my God, we can get pictures of kids from around the world dressed as their famous icons and we can do a whole encyclopedia. We can have African-American scientists and African-American business people and African-American musicians. And she said, no, I'm not doing any of that. And I said, oh, okay, let me calm down. She said, I just want to do this one book. And I said, well, if we're only going to do one book, we can't leave out little boys who grow up to be men. So she said, well, I will do that. But we have to find a boy. And I said, I've got a boy. So I flew to Dallas and got my grandson, Caleb, and brought him back. And what she achieved with Lola over the course of a month leading up to Black History Month, she achieved with Caleb between the two of us and lots of bribes and lots of playing Fortnite in between, doing that with my grandson so that we would have 20 one figures so that they represented men and women. So it's not all of them, because of course she did one every day of Black History Month. So there were 28 women. We have 10 men and 11, I think it's, yeah, 10 men and 11 women.
Yeah. I'm trying to put my finger on what it is that the photos of Lola and Caleb really bring. I mean, many of these people, like Aretha Franklin and Frederick Douglass, were visually striking in their own right. Do you have words for what it is that the photos of these people as children brings?
Our goal was to remind everyone that every important person, every famous person, every icon was once a child. So no matter where you are, when you're between the ages of 9 and 15 trying to figure out what you want to do, there may come a moment that will change your life. That's why every essay begins with them as children at that moment. And I want people who might not be doing what they want to do to remember that there were moments that changed lives, so it's never too late to change yours. But the main thing is, I literally just want to make sure that these folks are not, these are not hidden figures. These are people that people know, Muhammad Ali and Stevie Wonder and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I wanted people to know that we need to celebrate them as more than posters during Black History Month. They are a part of American history, and everybody should know them. And if they know a little bit more about them, it'll be even harder to forget them. So every single one of them begins with that moment, you know, when Muhammad Ali is the world's most famous person, icon, humanitarian, more than just a boxer. But when he was 12 years old, somebody stole his bike, and he decided he was going to beat him up, and he started learning how to box.
I think the image that gets me closest to it is that photo that you talked about, the one that really took you, you know, really swept you away at first, the photo of Lola as Fannie Lou Hamer. It's so moving. You see Lola, this beautiful, beautiful child, and then the photo of Fannie Lou Hamer herself. Really, everything that she has survived is laid bare in her face. And it's like this incredible bookend of, you know, either end of a life of struggle, and just a reminder that, you know, any kid could grow up to be a Fannie Lou Hamer.
That's the point. You have nailed it, literally hit the nail on the head. Every one of these folks were children who could have done anything, gone down any path. Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier for Major League Baseball in the modern era, but when he was 16, he was a member of a gang. You can change your stars in any way that you want, and you don't have to be a child to do it. But I do have to give credit to little Lola, who she at 5 and Caleb at 8. Literally, I've just never seen anything like it, where we said, this is who this person was, and we want you to be them for a moment. And the other photo that really gave me pause was when he was being Duke Ellington, and he sat down in his suit at the piano and looked the way Duke Ellington did and smiled. And literally, Christy and I just sort of grabbed each other like, oh my God, are you seeing this? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, are you shooting this? And she said, oh yeah. It was just the amazing joy at being, you know, one of the founders, the founder in some people's books of modern jazz, and who wrote more classical jazz compositions that are just a part of our American music book. And, you know, quite frankly, when he was 15, he was, you know, running the counter at a soda fountain and writing Soda Fountain Rag, his first composition, and he didn't know how to read or write music. Just amazing stories and amazing looks. I will tell you that we did have some difficulty with Frederick Douglass, because Caleb wanted to later go to the movies in all the Frederick Douglass hair. And we couldn't let that happen. I was worried what people might think. And
it's a fabulous photo. You've written so many profiles, and I know a lot of the subject matter here was not exactly new to you, but when you started, were there trailblazers in the group that you learned something new about or that surprised you?
Almost every one of them. You know, we journalists think we know everything. We're supposed to know everything. But what we typically do is find everything. And so I treated this like a reporting assignment. So some of the things I knew, I covered Muhammad Ali when I worked in Louisville, so I knew him. I knew his story intimately. I visited his training camp in Berrien Springs, Michigan, before I'd come to Detroit to work. But I think some of the things that were amazing were like, you know, Katherine Johnson, who helped send men to the moon, went to college at 10, and quite frankly, was a math whiz that everybody knew she was a math whiz, but she had to, her family had to move for her to go to a school that would accommodate her prowess and her brilliance. And, you know, you've got kids like that now, and what if their parents don't do that because they don't even think about that possibility? If you have a genius in your family and you don't know, okay, can I make a path or can I help make a path for them that would lead to something amazing? Or do I just sort of accept whatever comes along? In almost every one of these cases, there were moments where somebody decided to not accept what came along. Barbara Jordan, one of the greatest orators ever, she'd already decided what she was going to be until she heard this amazing orator and attorney speak at an event and changed her whole mind.
Were there any profiles that were challenging to write?
You know, the strange thing was it's always challenging to write the ones that everybody knows almost all the story. You know, Muhammad Ali, everybody knows the story. Everybody can recite the story. Trying to make sure you're getting in little pieces of information that people might not know so that it's special and new for this book. I wanted this book to be very original and teach people some things that they didn't know so they pay attention. There's lots that you don't know about people that you've studied in history or people you think you know. Get to know them better. If we did that, if we, you know, sort of really taught all children African-American history as a part of American history, we'd have fewer problems with racial conflict than we do now. We've been miseducating children for a long time. If we stop doing that, we can go a long way towards that better America we reach for all the time.
Yeah. You get into the contemporary era, too, with a photo and profile of Caleb as Barack Obama. I feel like this is such a wonderful, wonderful piece, since Caleb probably actually knew who Barack Obama was, you know, through immediate experience.
Well, he knew a lot of these folks, but he did learn some. And I love the idea of making sure young boys know that somebody can start in a gang and get out of a gang and play football and baseball and become someone who changes the world.
Yeah. There's so much that we can say about Barack Obama, especially given the years that immediately followed his presidency. Was it tough to sort of encapsulate all that into one short profile?
Well, now that I think about it, I think he's the answer to your previous question. His was probably the hardest one because his life is so amazing and so filled with so much humanity and diversity. Of his family, he called it, was a mini United Nations. And so much of what he learned from living in different countries, you know, as a child and growing up without his father. It's like there's every facet of different stories that you hear about different people, many of them applied to him. So finding something about him that was special was hard because there were so many moments that were special. But I found one, and I hope people will enjoy reading about it.
Yeah. Given the book that he just published, it feels like he's also still working on, you know, making sense of his story, even as you're doing this, too. Rochelle, I noticed that your collaborator, Christy Smith Jones, dedicates all of her work, I guess including this book, to Mary Smith, her grandmother, who she calls the first Black woman to change her world. Is there somebody that you have in mind with your work as well?
Absolutely. I dedicate to my grandparents who raised my brother and sister and me when our parents couldn't. I make people say his name, Mr. Benny Pitt, and you have to say all three, Mr. Benny Pitt, and his wife, Loni Pitt, who took their retirement to make sure that their daughter's children went to college. They mean the world to me, and this is for every family who has someone in it who made sure that they changed the world for some kids.
Gratitude going out to Mr. and Mrs. Benny Pitt, Mary Smith, and all the others who came before. Rochelle Riley, thank you so much for the book. It's called That They Lived, African Americans Who Changed the World, and it's available from your favorite bookseller right now. Rochelle is the Director of Arts and Culture for the City of Detroit and co-creator of this book. Rochelle, we really appreciate you talking to us about it.
Thank you so much, as always.
Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.